And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, June 29th, 2024, Season 18, Episode 23. Yeah, all my numbers are correct. I have to make sure. Just gotta be certain. You get one number off, it just keeps one number off. The whole thing. Welcome into the show. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And we are here to talk video games, as we always are, on Saturdays at 4, except for next Saturday at 4, which we'll be here talking about video games, but it'll be a replay. So, yeah, no show for next Saturday, just to let you know. I mean, there will be a show, just not a new show. Being a little too literal. Mm. Or whatever. Welcome in. If you would like to get in touch with us, then check out ingamechat.net for all the ways to do that. You can find us on Twitter at ingamechat. You can find us on Facebook at ingamechat. You can also email us, everyone at ingamechat. Did you see the pattern? We are streaming right now on Twitch. Again, go to ingamechat.net, go all the way to the bottom of the page, and you can click on our Twitch link. It'll take you right to it so you can watch us live while we broadcast. Twitch.tv is the website. Search for In-Game Chat, you'll find us. You can also join us in Discord, which we are in there now as well. So feel free to join us on the Discord. Welcome in. RJ, I didn't play anything this week.
Really?
I really, really, really did not. Did I play anything? I didn't play anything Sunday, no.
No demos, no nothing, no just...
No, today I played a thing. Today I played two games today, barely. So, I mean, I'll get mine out of the way. That way you can talk about yours, because I have, it's very, very little. Steam Summer Sale kicked off.
Right.
So, I mean, seriously, if you go back to last week's show, I have to have something to do with my hand. Sorry. I have to have something in my hands. If you go back to last week's show, I was talking about Mad Max, how I'd beat it, and I was like, ooh, you know what? I'm looking forward to playing Shadow of War.
Right.
I don't have it yet, so I'll wait for a sale because the thing was... I have another thing to nitpick. Not for that game, but for the Steam sale. But anyway, Steam sale, summer sale kicked off Tuesday, Thursday. And sure enough, Shadow of War was $3.
Okay.
And I think that was just for the, game, maybe.
Just
and
the then base like, game?
Yeah. And like the definitive edition was like $6.
Oh, what's the difference then?
I know, yeah. Right? So, yeah. No, I jumped on it. I was like, okay, boom, got it. I have, so now I have Shadow of War. So I fired that up this morning and played, man, the prologue, which to call it even a prologue. The fact that you play the prologue is, I mean, they sort of introduce you to some stuff, but really they could have just done it in Act 1. The prologue is seriously very short. Mm-hmm. I suppose it was short for me. I did bypass some enemies, mainly because they didn't see me, and I was just headed to the waypoint. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, I got through the prologue and Act 1 started. And I did a little thing in Act 1. You know, I interrogated an orc and that was it. Hmm. I was done with the game.
So you stealth ran it.
Well, no, I wasn't done with the game. I just did that, and I was okay.
The prologue. That's me.
Yeah. The prologue was just nothing.
You splinter-celled it.
Yeah, it was absolutely nothing. Maybe there's more to it. And I wasn't on normal difficulty. I was on Nemesis difficulty, I guess, which is like the one up from that.
Yeah.
And there's harder. There's two other difficulties above that. Mm-hmm. There is easy, normal, Nemesis, something and something. So I'm on Nemesis, but it wasn't actually that hard. But anyway, I looked at that and I was like, okay, it's going. And then I stopped playing and that was it. What was the other one? Minami Lane, I think is how it's pronounced. Mm-hmm. It's a $3 little cozy game, okay. You know? I added it to the wish list from watching the Wholesome Games Direct from the Summer Games Fest that was a few weeks back. And the way that I do Steam sales, look at this. I barely played two games and I've already taken up 10 minutes.
It's a talent.
It's a curse for this job. The thing that I do with my Steam sale, I add a bunch of stuff to my wish list, you know? Especially during the game reveal things, it's like, oop, putting that on the list, put that on the list. Number one, it helps me to remember when these games are coming out or what I really liked when I saw it, rather than trying to remember later on, whatever. So I just add them when I like them. And then when a sale does happen, when like a Steam sale or something like that happens, I go to my wish list and I sort by discount, you know? And there's other ways you can sort your wish list by. Is it less than $5? Is it less than $10? Something like that. So when a sale happens, I go to my wish list and I sort by discount, and then I go through and I look and I see what prices are, you know, what's a good price, what's something real cheap I can throw in my cart maybe and pick up. But I also then look at the review, the rating, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Is it positive, negative, mixed? What is it? And Minami Lane came in at $3 for the game on sale and overwhelmingly positive. It's always a good start. So I threw that on. I played like the first little mission. It is a very, it's one of those really cozy type games where you're on a street, it's kind of an isometric view and it's just one street. And it starts with people on that house and then you build, you know, either another house or a park or a ramen shop or whatever. And it goes through a day and they do their thing. And then you go through the next day with the money you earned to build another shop or build another house or build another park. And then as the population of the street gets longer, you make more money and you're able to add to it. It's just a laid back, cozy type game. And I've only done the first, we used to call them scenarios back in Roller Coaster Tycoon days, where they would start you off saying like, okay, here's your setting. Now make this park, earn this much money by this much time, and you need this much satisfaction from your customers, your guests, by this much time. You know, that sort of thing.
So is it Animal Crossing with a quota?
Yeah, I wouldn't say Animal Crossing because you don't have the ability to kind of walk around and talk to people. Mm-hmm. They do their own thing, and you click on them to get an idea, like when you open up the ramen shop and they go and they eat there. Some of them will have things like, hey, ramen's great, and the price is really low. That's satisfactory. Or somebody's like, hey, the ramen was good, but I'd like more of this. Because every day you can adjust what's in your ramen. Like, did this person want more noodles? Does this person want more eggs? Does this person want more, you know, whatever? Mm-hmm. And so you can switch that on a day-to-day basis as you add new shops and things like that that are in there. But I played the first scenario.
Okay.
And I liked it. There is a sandbox mode, which probably would be a lot of fun, because then your street will stretch to a pretty long street. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it seems like it'd be great. It seems that it begs to be portable. A game like that does, which, you know, Steam Deck. Mm. And it might be on the Switch. I don't know. It may be on the Nintendo Switch. Mm. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah. Good game. It's a little, you know, $3 really nice game. So that's pretty much it. I want to say I tried another game that I got a long time ago, actually, or I don't know how long ago it was, 1000 X Resists, which, you know, very story heavy type game.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only really dipped my toe in it. And that was a week ago. And I wish I had put more time into it, but I never did. And now I jumped into Shadow of War. I mean, I could go back to it. I don't know. Depends. I may try and jump back in there because right now it's a lot of talking.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with that when I'm in the mood for that. The problem with that is that it's such a story-driven thing that if it takes me a while to get back into the mood for that, I've lost the thread. You know what I'm saying? What were we doing? What were we talking about? What was the plot again?
Yeah.
You know, so it's something
not because of delay like it was with the Last of Us 2. It was just
And it's also not very, the controls are very, very minimal in that game. Mm-hmm. So it's more about remembering the story when you come back to it. And if I take long breaks in between, I'm going to have a problem where it's not going to feel like a cohesive story because
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to remember points and references and things like that. So it's kind of one that I need to stick with and play.
Yeah, I think we've talked about that before when you were playing Last of Us 2. It is one of those story games, so you got to play it at a consistent rate to keep up with stuff.
Yeah, and with that, it was also a very, control, you know, there's a lot of controls.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things you had to do with the controller. There was combat and everything else. There's not really, or I haven't gotten far enough into this game to really get into that. Mm-hmm. That's the only kind of silver lining of the whole thing is that I'm not very far into it. If I kind of want to go back to it and restart, which I could do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that's it. That's all that is. I feel like that's all I played. I also feel like I'm forgetting something that I played, but I think that's it. I think that's absolutely it. My bone to pick with the Steam sale, and I'll check this again, but I checked it yesterday, is that of all things, you go to Warner Brothers store page, things are discounted. Suicide Squad, which is for the most part crap, it's down to $20. That game came out in February, I think.
Yeah, not that long ago.
Yeah, February. Mad Max, no discount. It is $20. There is no discount on that game right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand it.
Possibly the popularity of the movie coming out and everything.
Maybe. It just seems...
It's obvious why Suicide Squad has a big discount right now.
Well, there's that. I guess I shouldn't have used that. I was just saying, look, here's a game that came out in February, and here's a game that came out 9 years ago.
Yeah. And one is a little more popular than the other right now.
Right. And one has a movie out, and the other one doesn't. Yeah. Mad Max is still $20. That is... Meh.
Has it ever gone below that?
Yeah.
Often? Like the
Steam
sale?
Well, I don't know. Back then when it released, yeah, I'm sure it had sales. I could look at, there's a page that.
Wonder Steam does have that, a history of its lowest price and its highest price, or something like that.
They don't, but there is a website that does.
Okay. All right.
Steam price history.
Mm-hmm.
See? Steam database, steamdb.info.
Okay.
That's the one that we're looking for here. All right, so search. Let's do that. Mad Max. Let's see what we got here. Avalanche Studios. Price history. Lowest recorded price. I want... Is there... Oh, lowest recorded price, $3.99.
Mm. And it's now 20.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I can see it. popularity, movie, tie-in?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. They actually have a nice graph of, let's go with the past 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Back in March, from March 14th to March 21st, it was $3.99. So yeah. And then it came back up. And then back in January, probably for the holiday sale, Christmas sale,
mm-hmm.
It was also $3.99. But between January 4th and March 14th, it was $20. And now from March 21st to now, it is still $20. It's just weird that it doesn't have a discount.
Hmm.
Man, back in 2022, it was down to $4. And it regularly drops to $4. Just hasn't in a while.
Hmm.
So
they'll still be selling.
Yeah, I don't know. It will again. It'll drop again. I feel certain. Hmm. If it's been doing it like that on and off and on and off. So
yeah.
I feel like it'll do it again. But yeah, there's your price history on old Mad Max. But it's $20 right now. It's ridiculous. There's some great little Warner Brothers games, by the way. There's a lot of games that are on sale. The Hogwarts Legacy is down to $24. Lego Harry Potter's $5. Justice League, like we said, it's $20.
Mm-hmm.
All the Batman games, Multiverse is free to play. Mortal Kombat 1 is $27. And the DLC, the character pack, is down to $15. So, yeah. Shadow of War is $6 for the complete edition. So, there's a lot to pick from. And these were just the Warner Brothers games that I'm going for, that I'm looking at here. Yeah. So check out the Steam sale. Good stuff there. What have you been playing, RJ? Since I just took up 20 minutes to talk about two games.
Such a little
I know, right?
I did give The Operator a run, the demo from Steam.
Oh, nice.
I did play The Operator.
Did you go through the whole thing?
Yeah, I went through the whole thing.
Okay, good.
Got to the point where the hacking occurred. So
right, yeah.
I went through the whole thing there. So yeah. Interesting little game to go through, searching for data as the database operator, trying to help the agents out in the field and things like
right,
that.
Right, yep.
And having all that stuff go through. Missing names, conspiracy theory, the intro lets you know that there's something weird going on in the background. Very X-Files-like
mm-hmm.
Things going on. Having that missing name, I'm thinking, right off the top of my head, I'm thinking that's got to be me.
Okay.
My character or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Just a guess on my part, but... I'm genuinely curious about that, and I may actually take a look at it and get it later on.
Yeah, I don't know when it releases, but yeah, it's a good game.
Yeah, they said
or at least
it
was a good demo.
Yeah, and they said that, and a game similar to that was Orwell. I think you've talked about it before.
I've talked about Orwell, yeah. I think that's still installed on I never finished it. I need to go back through that.
Yeah.
And I hate that I didn't, because there's another one that it's going to be like, what was going on?
Yeah.
What was I doing? What was happening? God, because especially with Orwell, because there are so many connections.
Yeah.
There's so many connections between the people that you've already found out and that you've already discovered. And there's a story thread and I don't know what it is, but yeah.
So yeah, I gave that a shot. And like I said, I mentioned it and I'll probably pick it up later on. If I remember, if I do go to Steam, and I probably will, since I've been playing Balatro.
Yeah, again, yeah, yeah.
Trying to go through Balatro again. And man, I had another run, one of those runs where... You think you got it in hand, and then something changes in the sixth or seventh ante, and everything just falls apart,
mm-hmm.
and you can't do anything about it. I've had a tendency to increase my pairs and high cards, the level of that, because it's a pretty much guarantee to get a pair and a high card, of course, in any hand that you got. The problem was that the pairs that I got showed up with low numbers, like twos and threes instead of kings and queens, things like that. So I wasn't getting enough points that I needed to. And I had the misprint joker. So I was pretty much going on RNG for that one, because if you've ever had that joker, that's the one that gives you a random multiplier. It could be 25. It could be 4.
Yeah.
You know, on any given scoring run. And also had the splash joker that allows every card to score. So I had everything going for me, but I couldn't get the pairs with high enough values to guarantee the win. So another failure, but won't stop me from trying again. I was trying on the yellow deck this time, but it wasn't not a real big difference. I mean, having an extra $10, I'm like, eh, just more time to spend stuff in the shop if need be. If not, just skip it and move on. So nothing really big in terms of difference in playstyle for that one. Now those other decks, the Magic deck, the Nebula deck, things like that, I don't know how much is that going to affect me, but I want to go through the order of the decks before I go to those harder ones near the end.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
So let's see, outside of Balatro, I did play more of the Division 2. I finally got to level 40 with one of my main characters, and one of the issues with playing a game that you've been out of the loop on for a very long time is all this material and DLC that comes in after the fact. So when I hit level 40, the game was relentlessly telling me about all these things that you can do now. And I'm like, wait, I haven't done the DLC that I originally purchased yet.
Yeah.
So hold up a second. And I'm just getting inundated with all types of stuff where you can do this. You can fight with your clan. You can go here for prizes. You can do this with everything else. I'm like, wait, this is just too much information. I'm getting an overload right now. I'm still, I don't know how to tinker with the weapon I've got yet. I'm still trying to get the perks available on that yet. So it's going to take a little time. I'll probably have to do some YouTube videos and get some tutorials or whatever to see exactly what's what.
Yeah.
And learn how to play that one. And at the end, I played GTA Online. There's some new DLC for that. They gave a new money-making mission, the Bounty Hunter DLC.
Yeah.
It's basically purchase another shop, invest about, I want to say, 3 to 5 million in-game currency to have a fully operational bounty hunting agency. You get to deal with one of the characters from the story, Maud, who Trevor dealt with when he got bounties for in the main storyline. So
been a minute since I played that.
Yeah, basically Trevor met this lady in the desert, Maud, a bounty hunter. You went out and got bounties for her, brought her back, and she took care of him in her trailer, so to speak. So she's handing over the business.
I
to
remember
her daughter.
That. Yeah, I remember that.
So now she's handing over the business
I
to her daughter.
I remember that one.
And so that's where you come in with your online character, and you take the reins from there. So other than that, that's pretty much all I've been playing this week.
I think that'll change this week, obviously, since I got, for one, since the Steam sale, because there's a couple of other games I kind of want to look at. Again, going through my wish list and picking out the cheap ones. Dystopica, I would like to pick up. Maybe. I may hold off on that. That's the very casual cyberpunk city builder. So that's one I may grab. I don't know. Because it's also a game that I know if I wait, first off, it's a solo developer. And I feel like if I wait long enough, it'll be cheaper than what it is. But it's also a solo developer. And he's already, and he knows that this isn't a big, you know, it's on sale for like $6. And I easily think that could get down to 5 to 3, you know, something like that. However, as a solo developer, I don't necessarily know that he's going to drop it to $3 anytime soon. You know, it's just him making the game. And, you know, in a way...
But if it's a good game, would you mind spending $6 on it?
That's my thing. First off, it is, you know, again, when I go through my list and I like, okay, $6, what's the reviews? Overwhelmingly positive for this thing. And I played the demo, and I know that he's going to add more stuff to it. The developer's definitely going to put more, you know, logs on the fire, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And keep it going for a while. And buying this would help him to do that. So, in a way, I feel like it's, you know, throw the $6 at him and enjoy the game. You know, do that. So, I might. Again, Steam sale's going on through for like 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah. And that reminds me, I may as well put a... Operator on the wish list as well, because I hardly ever use Steam, so it really says something when a game gets me to go on Steam to start playing, because we're usually playing on a console.
Yeah, July 11th is what the sale is going through. What was it called? What was the game we were talking about? Your game?
The Operator?
Operator.
Yeah.
Nope. Operator. That says July.
No, not that long, man.
Planned release date, July 2024.
Okay.
By the way, the operator that we're talking about, the demo is still active if you want to download and play it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't know what PC you're running, but it's not a
it's not a resource hog.
Yeah. The game is not a resource hog at all. Give it a look. I really, really enjoyed it. I really, really did. So check it out. Comes out in July.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very important to have a good eye for detail.
So far as we know, yeah. So far.
In the demo, having to have that level of detail, yeah, let you know how difficult it could possibly get down the line.
Yeah. Whenever it does release.
Mm-hmm.
What was I looking at the other day? I think the Alters comes out next month as well, middle of next month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been watching some videos on that, and I remembered that I mentioned this on the show, that it was made by the same people who did This War of Mine, which is a very, very depressing game. Mm-hmm. Alters doesn't feel that way, although there's moments where I can see where they're tapping into the heartstrings, the drama, that sort of thing. So I'm just thinking, oh, it's 11-Bit Studios. They made this, and they made that. And then I go and I look at their Steam page, because I'm like, let's see what else they've done. And it's just like, oh, my God. This is not an indie developer. They've done a lot of stuff that I'm actually quite interested in. Of course, I say that now without having Steam pulled up so that I can tell you that. Let me look. The Alters... By the way, the Alters demo is still available as well. Mm-hmm. 11-Bit Studios, they made Indica, which is a really strange-looking thing. What was the other one? Frostpunk. I didn't know that, but they made Frostpunk. And what else? Oh, that's a lot of Frostpunk. They made The Invincible. The Invincible, it's $20. I'm probably not going to pick that up. When that drops some more, I'll probably buy that. I played the demo of it for, was it earlier this year or last year? I can't remember. I talked about it. But it is based on a sci-fi novel or something like that. And I've looked it up, but I can't find an English version of the novel or the comic book or whatever it is that it's based on. But I really, really like the aesthetic that it's giving, and I'm really curious about it, would like to know more. But I didn't know that they had all of these games under their belt. Moonlighter is another one that they did. Children of Morta is another one that they did. South of the Circle, I'm not sure what that is, but it looks kind of interesting. What is the price on that? That's $6.50. What else do they have? Beat Cop, I own that one. That's only $3.50 right now. And then soundtracks and art books and things like that. I was just really impressed with the fact that I really thought it was like, oh, wow, the guys that did This War of Mine are working on their next game. And then I realized, oh, wait, no, they've been making games for a while. Look in the chat room. What do we have here? Brian O'Brien says we should replay a show years old so that people don't know. And we'll be like, I have got old shows, man. I want to say I've got all of our shows. Mm. There may be one or two missing from the early days because I don't think I have like our very first show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was going back to try and do a montage for our 300 or 500 or whatever episode we were doing. There were a few missing from the very beginning, but I had enough to make a nice little montage of things. Now, I can go back and put some old shows on. I easily could do that. I try not to, only for the fact that what we're talking about is... Although we sit here and we talk about, I'm talking about a 9-year-old game with Mad Max, right? We're right. Talking about old games as it is, but it'd be talking about like retro at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal Migraine says you could also show up and do a show. Day is what, Thursday? It's not like it's on Saturday. Well, no. We're off on the 4th and the 5th here at the station. So I don't have to come here on the 4th or the 5th. And I thought, well, let's make it a trifecta and not come up here on the 6th either. I try and do that. Like, that's what I'll do. It's like, that gives me a long weekend from not coming. I come to this building 6 days a week.
Yes, you do.
It'd be really nice to have one of those weeks where it's like, hey, you don't have to come into this building for, a very long weekend. And it's like, all right, fine. it's not that I don't mind not being or being here or something like that, but it's also a 25-minute drive in or so. Be nice to skip that out of the way too. So, yeah, I turn them into long weekends from being here. Let's see. Thar6 says, I finished Still Wakes the Deep this morning. Really? Wow, man. That just came out, but that's a pretty recently released title. He also says he listened to our early shows on his PSP. I still have mine. I don't know where it's at, but I still have mine, and I still have the box it came in. The OG PSP. I also have the rework PSP. That was the Vita. Yeah, I have my OG PSP. The one that took the universal whatever the UMD
UHD something
the UMD discs or whatever they were that used to sell.
The disc in a plastic harness.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And I had the Vita, but I think I had the Vita that had the Assassin's Creed, whichever one, it was the white Vita that had the OLED screen or something like that, or the LCD. I can't remember which one it was. But I had that too. Still Wakes the Deep. I have questions about Thar6, Still Wakes the Deep. How jump scare is it? I like the atmosphere. I like the platforming puzzles of trying to find your way around the oil rig. What I don't want are jump scares. And if it gives me jump scares, which everything indicates that it's going to, I'll probably pass. So I'm not going to say he'll eventually respond, but we don't have to sit around and wait because we have a commercial to go to. It is the new game week for our music this week. What is he? I'm reading. I'm sorry. He responded. Thar6 says there's not many jump scares, but that implies that there are jump scares. And he says just something being chased moments. Which I'm not fond of that either.
Sounds like little things that'll stoke your paranoia.
Yeah. Hanging tensed. Anyway, I wonder if he's doing text-to-speech or something. We got music here from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Arcade. It's called Wrath of the Mutants. It's the main menu music for it. I want to say it came out back in April. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Turn my mic on. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from, again, it's the newer games, Sandland. This is called the, it's music for the wild boss fight. Again, newer titles. That may be on sale, by the way. This is a game that came out in April. And so it might be currently for sale on the Steam sale. Thar6 went back and said there's a lot of tense moments, but there's not many jump scares. That's what he was trying to say. Not many is implying that there is still some. And for that, I'll either look them up to see where they're at so I don't have to deal with them, or it's strange in a game rather than it is in a movie for some reason, and I don't know why. I sit closer to the screen when I'm playing the game, as far as my PC is concerned, which I feel like that's where I would play this.
Think about games and movies. I mean, movies, you're just along for the ride. Games, you're in control, so you're...
There's a little bit more immersion when you're in a game, when you're playing a game, than there is in a movie.
Like, if you ever played a game like that, it's just like, why did I go in there?
Yeah.
I knew better than that, but, you know, things like that.
And he goes on to say there are a few, but not the Alan Wake kind. And the interesting part about that is that I loved Alan Wake, the first one. I have not played Alan Wake 2, and I know it does contain jump scares, but I feel like I'm willing to
deal with it.
I'm willing to go through with those to kind of enjoy whatever that has to offer as far as a story. And that's, he says, like, you may turn around and flashlight a dead corpse in goo or something like that. Okay. Let's see. He says you need some. Are you talking about Still Wake the Deep? That's set in Scotland. Even Scottish people have no idea what those Scottish people are saying. After watching quite a few episodes of Taskmaster, I kind of agree with you on that. Sometimes Scottish people don't understand what other Scottish people are saying. And he says, yeah, the subtitles are needed for it. So yeah, Still Wakes the Deep. Well, thank you for that. All right, so we're done with what we've been playing. We might as well jump into, and you know, I'm not gonna, since I've only got about 15 minutes, then this is the one that I'll run into here, even though there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stories that are about a streamer who goes by the name of Dr. Disrespect. And that may be the only time I say that name because I feel foolish even saying it. I just do.
Trust me, there are some out there that are worse. But it's memorable, isn't it?
Yeah, his actual name is, oddly enough, his actual name is Guy. I don't think it's Guy, but I believe it's Guy.
Mm-hmm.
Guy Beam, I believe, is his last name. Mm-hmm. He used to work for... one of the game developers, Sledgehammer, I think. I think he used to work for Sledgehammer Games.
Hmm.
I'm not sure if he was in community. I don't know what he did there. I could easily look that up, but it doesn't matter. But he worked at Sledgehammer Games, which were working on Call of Duty. And then he created this online persona and started streaming. And it kind of caught on. A lot of people enjoyed it. And I know when I say a lot of people, you're thinking, well, I never saw it. And I'm basically the same way. I saw it, but I never really caught on to the whole streamer thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was after my time or something like that, but for whatever reason, that aspect of gaming really just, it never hit me.
Yeah.
To watch, other than to watch other people play it to get an idea of it, do I want to play this game?
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Look, I think we may have talked about it off the air, like, explain how someone gets popular doing something. I mean, you can't. I mean, it just happens.
It's one of those things where, you know, you find the right formula, you find the right game, you find something hits, and it's that lightning in a bottle thing.
You got the code right. So there you go.
And there's a lot of kids who watch streamers and are like, I want to do that. And I encourage them, sure, go ahead and give it a shot. But I also want you to know what it entails.
Yeah.
In other words, you look at that and you're like, that's what I want to do with my life. I want to sit there and I want to stream. And I was like, okay, well, here's what all that means. Here's what that means you're going to have to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is every day. Do not take a break, especially when you're starting. Never take a break.
Yeah.
Like if you're actually trying to get there, you've got to build that audience. And putting out a video every single day is how to get that audience.
Yeah.
Sometimes multiple videos.
Yeah.
So anyway, point being, this guy, literally, this guy, Beam, You know, he had this lightning in a bottle, and then he, you know, put the persona on, is the wig with the glasses, and it was mostly satire, or at least started that way,
mm-hmm.
with the machismo of the gamer dude and the gamer bro and doing all these things and whatever.
Made a character.
Yeah. It was mostly set out to be satire, but then it started to kind of bleed in a little bit to actual being a thing, and he started making a lot of money for it. Started getting a lot of deals, a lot of endorsement deals, and the reason I know this is because all of those deals have started to drop him like a lot. Mm-hmm. There's actually an article from Kotaku that says how to explain this whole situation to the normal people in your life. Which I figure would work good here, because there's probably a lot of people listening who don't know who this is. And even if they did, maybe they don't know exactly what's going on. He's a 42-year-old video game streamer. He worked with the Call of Duty developer Sledgehammer Games from 2011 to 2015. He streamed full-time after leaving the studio and became famous for his toxic gaming character. And as that character, he would often yell a lot. He would insult other players. He would act overly confident while playing Battle Royale titles. And sometimes he was good at them, sometimes he was bad at them, but that was the draw, like, to see him just kind of go over the top and just be, you know, that thing. So, mm-hmm. Yes, he was famous for yelling a lot and playing video games. That sounds very silly, but he had millions of subscribers and fans around the world. Part of his shtick is the wig and the 80s mullet, the tactical vest thing, the sunglasses and everything else. Mm-hmm. That's the whole shtick.
And the mustache. Don't forget that.
Yeah. In 2019, in June, he was invited out to E3. And I want to say we may have talked about this. I know it was probably in our news, but we didn't go over it. And he streamed live from the convention floor, which mm-hmm. is perfectly fine to do. Amazing that you could. But, well, I don't know. Probably in 2019, not bad. When I was going back in 2013 or 14, Wi-Fi and streaming and things like that was not happening, and the signals were horrible.
No.
You really couldn't keep up with it.
No.
Anyway, in 2019, he went out there and was streaming from the show floor, even to the point when he went into the restroom and continued to stream.
Mm-mm.
That sounds like a joke, but it's actually not. He continued the live stream when he went into the bathroom. That got him temporarily banned from Twitch for doing that. However, that made him even more famous. And when he came back to Twitch, when the ban was lifted, massive, massive support and everything else from people.
Mm-hmm.
So the next little part of this article says, I'm confused. Is this a character or is this really him? And the answer to that is that it's kind of hard to say. It's become increasingly difficult to figure out where the character ends and the actual person begins, or vice versa, whatever the case you want to do. There was an incident that happened in 2017 where he announced that he had been cheating on his wife. He did this out of character as himself when he talked about this. Again, popularity, massive.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Said he was going to take some time off, focus, you know, on his, you know, fixing his mistakes and his family and that sort of thing. Then June 26, 2020 happened. And there are videos. You can find these videos on YouTube. And these are, I don't want to say they're hilarious to watch, but it is very, very, I watched it quite a few times. Not only this one in 2020, but the one that just happened back this past week.
Mm-hmm.
Because he streams so much, when things happen, they're recorded. They're broadcast live. And once they're out on the internet, they're pretty much there forever.
Yeah.
And so you could see, like, he was in the middle of doing something and then looked at his phone. You could see him look, again, he's wearing sunglasses and everything else, so it's hard to tell what his eyes are doing. But he looks at his phone. There's a lot of silence. There's just awkward pauses. Mm-hmm. You can tell, like, Something just happened.
Yeah.
He had 4 million subscribers and was one of the biggest names on the platform of Twitch. but they permanently banned him on June 26, 2020. And you can see when he gets that note that it's that this is happening. He has to pull away and kind of stop the stream again because he's cut off. In 2021, he filed a lawsuit against Twitch, claiming that he had learned why he was banned. The lawsuit was settled in 2022. He said, "I have resolved my legal dispute with Twitch. No party admits to any wrongdoing." And that was pretty much all we knew. Nothing was ever released. People would bring it up like something must have happened. Why did he get banned back in 2020? What was going on? But then he showed up on YouTube, and I think he was streaming on Facebook. You know, he still had endorsement deals going on. It was like, what's happening? And then the lawsuit with Twitch made it even more confusing because they settled.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, I guess everything's fine. Don't really know exactly what's going on. Except Sunday. Late Sunday around 5 or so, I log in to check radio stations here from home and everything else. And I just, you know, I go through the internet while I'm doing that because around 5 o'clock on my school nights, bedtime ain't far off when you got to get up at 4:30 every morning. So I look through some forums and I see that, you know, some news has happened about this whole 2020 ban that took place. And I'm like, oh, wow. Wonder what's going on there. Cody Connors, which at the time I didn't know that. They were just showing off a tweet. He was a former higher up at Twitch. And on June 21st, he claimed on Twitter that he knew exactly why Guy Bean got banned from Twitch. Dr. Disrespect got banned from Twitch because he got caught sending inappropriate texts to a minor. And was trying to meet up with this minor at a convention later on. Well, that got the ball rolling.
Yeah.
That just, the floodgates had opened. I don't know if there was an NDA that people had and couldn't say anything about or what the case was. But that got things moving. It led to a firestorm online, and reporters began digging and talking to sources. The Verge corroborated Connor's claim on June 23rd by speaking to another Twitch employee with information about the situation, who also confirmed that, yeah, this is what it was. It's exactly what it was. I don't know if they were under some ability to not say something about this prior to that, or I don't know. I don't exactly know why.
Circumstances of the settlement. There's usually things like that. We'll settle, but you can't talk about it. Things like that.
At first, he tried to move on from this and hoping it would kind of all blow over. However, as more reports came in and more people began talking about the situation, it became clear that this was not going away. He had worked with Robert Bowling, who we've actually had on the show way back when, long time ago, back when he worked with Infinity Ward. And we had Robert Bowling on. Robert Bowling teamed up with Guy to make a game studio. I say they teamed up with him. They kind of just used him as a mouthpiece or a talking, whatever the case.
Yeah.
Just kind of the face of the thing. Like, he's going to be the guy that gets us all these people to come in and play this game. You know, when we ask for donations, he's going to do it, and this will bring him in because he's got more access than we do to people. Exactly how any of that works. So the game studio that he helped create cut ties with him after they investigated the claims themselves. Robert actually was putting out tweets like, "Look, I've been away. I just landed. I just heard the news. I am going to investigate." And then he put a, that was under the studio's tweets. Then he put out a tweet on his own personally saying, "I'm taking this very seriously. I didn't know about any of this. I am just now learning. And if there is any hint of this, we will take immediate action." You know, he's really kind of getting in front of this, as he should. Or possibly should have done a long time ago. But apparently this information was just buried under something. They just, nobody was coming forward with this. Even all of these endorsements. He was endorsed by the San Francisco 49ers. Endorsed him. He endorsed them. Turtle Beach. God, there was a bunch of other companies that had ties with this dude. 2K Games. He was a playable character in NBA 2K24. So obviously the information about what he had done was just not available, I suppose, or they just decided that, look, he's still around. If anything was bad, he would have been either arrested or this would have come out or something like that. So obviously there's nothing there. I guess that's what they were thinking. I don't know. They should have dug a little deeper to find out that it's all true. He was streaming Elden Ring on Monday, I think it was. Monday or Tuesday, he was streaming. Yeah, it was Elden Ring on Monday.
Yeah.
He streamed Elden Ring on Monday and started off the stream saying that it's going to be a whole, like, this is a week-long thing of we're going to be doing the DLC for that. Get ready because we're doing this. 3 hours into it. 3 hours and 10 minutes into it. You get nearly the exact same thing that happened back in 2020 when he got banned from Twitch. He looks at his phone. Things get really awkward. However, I will say the music cue that comes from Elden Ring when he does look at his phone is just a masterpiece. I can't remember what the music was from the game to let you know because you would
as
know.
As in couldn't have possibly been
right. Like it times it whenever because he had just I don't know if he had just fast traveled or he'd just gone into a menu or I don't know or died. I don't know. I can't remember what had happened, but there's a musical cue that comes up. Trey looks at his phone and there's this silence and then the music hits and it's perfect. Again, this is all over the internet. You can find it. The reason I'm going into detail on all this, and the reason I'm kind of taking way too long to talk about this piece of trash that I'm glad is going away, is because when things like this happen, and sadly it happens way more than it should, we've talked about not just streamers, but I know some of the fighting community gets banned because of some inappropriateness that has happened.
Look, it's all over. I mean, in the entertainment industry, there's all types of behaviors that get swept under the rug, NDAs, settlements, things like that, and the general public 9 times out of 10 never hears the entire story of what happened.
Yeah.
And they never will, and usually they never will get the full story of what happened.
But my point in kind of bringing this up is that when these things do happen and when they get out, especially to folks like I'm reading this article, how to explain this to people who don't know anything about it. That's because they hear it because Rolling Stone covered this. There's a couple of other news outlets that covered this as well that aren't entirely related to gaming, but likely could catch your ear and you hear gaming and streamer and your immediate thought for not necessarily us on here, but for non-gaming people, their immediate thought is it goes to the first person they know who's a gamer and thinks maybe I should ask them about this.
It's up to me.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah. Totally. There's a common thing with anime and wrestling where we'll talk about like how great some anime is and I'll talk about how great some wrestling is. But the one time the person that you've talked to about like how great those things are walks in on what you're watching, it's at a really stupid moment that doesn't help prove your point. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
This is not what I wanted you to see. It's the other stuff. It's anything like adult or whatever. I'm not even getting at that. It's just stupid stuff. Like you're praising it for like, oh, man, it's really smart. It's beautiful writing. It's done this and that and everything else. And then they walk in and it's something really, really dumb. Yeah. Doink the clown. You know, something like that. So that's my point with this is not just that, but also the fact that this is one of those serious allegations that, by the way, is absolutely true. And I need to go into more of it because when he went on Twitter to explain himself or to settle things, it got worse because he owned up to it. Like if it went through a lawyer, there is no lawyer in the world that would have said, sure, print that. But he put it out there and he got dropped by all of these things. I mean, he is pretty much done now. There may be some outlets for him out there, but well, he's not going to get any endorsements.
No,
there's not a company in the world that's going to put money behind the dude. Now is there a public that'll put money behind him? Sadly, yes, there are horrible people who can look at this and say, I'll still support that guy, then yeah, which is no. That's why.
The amount of popularity and money that he can draw.
No. I'm talking about the public. I'm talking about just regular people. Well, no. Fans. Why would they support him if he draws money?
Yeah, if you got fans and everything, someone's gonna back him, man. Oh, I mean, the fact he can get that much support and fandom with that. I mean, someone's always gonna.
I really don't think they've also YouTube has demonetized him, yeah. So there's no way he can get back on YouTube to make money off of that.
Yeah.
He's got
platforms he can attempt to go back to.
Right.
Whatever,
there's a lot that are just not going to take you once you get. I mean, that is that sort of thing. And especially, God, the tweet that he put out. Now it's because it's out there forever now.
Yeah, it's on the internet. It's
out there forever. His subreddit on Reddit, they've all backlashed against him as well.
Yeah.
For the most part, all of them are like, yeah, I can't. There was a line and now it's crossed and now mm-hmm. I can't. But up until they weren't, until it man, that tweet, buddy. That tweet, God. He says, we're there. It's, what does he say?
Defiant, I guess would be one way to describe it.
He broke his silence on Twitter on June 25th and issued a lengthy statement on Twitter confirming that in 2017 he'd exchanged text messages with a minor that sometimes leaned too much in the direction of being inappropriate, but nothing more. Were there intentions, real intentions behind these messages? The answer is absolutely not. He said he didn't send any pictures or videos. He claimed no criminal charges were ever filed. But the damage now is done because he did admit to doing that. I mean, you're tainted goods. For any kind of mainstream endorsements, I would say any endorsements whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just thought I would bring that up because and then the other story that I had that has nothing to do with this guy, we talked about it on the morning show. A guy who in New Jersey who got beat in, I can't remember what game they were playing.
Mm-hmm.
One of those multiplayer games, probably Call of Duty or something. I don't remember. I'd have to look it up, but like he lived in New Jersey. The guy lived in Florida, somehow found out where he lived, address, and got mad because he got killed in the game. So he booked a flight from Jersey to Florida, got there, rented a car or took an Uber to this dude's house, broke in somehow. And attempted to murder him.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's that aspect of it. I mean, yeah.
Some folks take it too seriously.
We just bring up the time it ever makes it public is when it's the bad news.
Yeah,
sadly. Or you know, let me give a little bit towards the good part of it, and. The good part of it being, and it doesn't make as much news, but all the money that's raised with Summer Games Done Quick, mm-hmm. or, oh man, I'm drawing a blank on what that was. There was one pre-pandemic. One of our listeners, Leonard Whelan, he was always in there. And I can't remember what it was called, but I don't think they do it anymore. But it was kind of, you know, it was Gamers with a Cause. I mean, we did our own little benefit for the Children's Hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
For Child's Play.
Signed the shirt and everything.
Exactly. So, I mean, there is good. You just don't hear it as much as you do the bad. And so maybe instead of talking about that, I should have talked about the good. Because there is a lot. There's a lot out there as far as what gamers do for good. Able Gamers is a great charity and a great function where it helps people with disabilities who are able to play games. So there's a lot of the good out there. The bad is sadly pretty bad, but when we can find out what the bad part is, we can cut that cancer out, luckily. So, but man, that just watching that happen in real time, just every day, something more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was living fine since 2020. It took 4 years for this to come out, which is also a nice little note. Stuff will come out regardless. It'll come out. these people were sitting on knowing what he did ever how long ago for 4 years and didn't speak up. Likely because they couldn't, maybe. I don't know exactly what pushed them over the edge. But in the meantime, you see old boy out there getting endorsements, living great, living it up, but did some really bad stuff. And it catches up to you. It really, really does. So don't think it's going to stay hidden forever. If there's more than one person that knows about it, it's very likely to get out. That's, like, talk about secrets. It's the best secret is the one you never tell anybody. It's a true secret. Because you don't tell anyone. Music here from Phantom Fury, which was released back in April as well. This is called High Velocity. We'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from Saga Emerald Beyond. I guess I'm pronouncing Saga right. I guess it seems that way. Because it's capital S, little a, capital G, little a. Saga.
Close enough.
Yeah, Emerald Beyond. It's the title theme of that game. Welcome back into the show. Oh, yeah, Amazon Prime Day is coming up this month, July. And if you got Prime, then you'll get some free games out of it. Several games are, currently already available. What do they have? Deceive Inc., Tearstone, Thieves of the Heart, that's a puzzle adventure. A stock market game called The Invisible Hand. And then Call of Juarez, which is like a Western. Then on June 27th, Forger will get, you'll be able to play Forger or download Forger. Card Shark. What else they have? Heaven Dust 2. Solstice is another one. Hitman Absolution will be available for you. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge will be available. And Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2 will also be available. In total, 15 games for free coming up for the month of July. If you're an Amazon Prime customer there, you'll have plenty there to pick from. Or download them all, exactly like I do. That's for Prime. That's coming up next month. What else did we have here? Oh, man, I forgot about the old news that we didn't go over at all last week because we kept talking about demos. Scrolling through here, I see where the owner of From Software got hit by a ransomware attack, but and everything is fine as I understand it. My point was being Shadow of the Erdtree. When are you looking to jump into that? Are you looking to do that?
I'm looking to do that, but I got some partners I want to play with, and
you want to co-op it?
We want to plan doing that with each other on some.
So you're going to co-op it?
We're going to co-op some aspects of it, but
cool.
I got to pick the game up first.
Pick
the DLC up first, but we want to get to a spot where we can all start at the same area.
Yeah.
And go on from there, because I've got, I'm in like new game plus on my main.
Right, yeah.
So I'm wondering if I should like start a new character get one that's not as far advanced as the others, because I've got four characters to work with on that game. and a partner of mine got his data got corrupted or banned or whatever. See, it was like banned for some weird reason. It was like their Destiny situation. You were banned, but not no one wanted to explain why. So he couldn't get it in. It couldn't get a reason why.
God, I hate that.
So we might start over from scratch on his. On
oh,
one
both of you
on,
might
on him. So I'm about to make a fifth character and go from there.
How many characters can you have?
I don't know. I never. I don't know if there is a limit.
Okay.
I've got four right now.
I was just curious.
Yeah.
Didn't know if they gave you.
But I definitely do plan to play that.
Yeah, because I think I know it's not. I'm not trying to compare. I'm just saying that there are games that limit how many characters you can have. Because I believe Balatro only gives you like what, three saves, or three.
I've never tried to make a.
Well, when you start right, yeah, because when you started up, I think it gave you three different slots to choose.
Yes, the one when I made that tutorial video for you and you and Matt,
yeah.
I was made a new save, but I never tried to go after that because I got it in that one.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Shot.
So yeah, there are some that'll limit you on that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was curious when you were going to be jumping into
to
Shadow there. So let's see, we did the Amazon thing. Forza Horizon 4 will be brought, I want to say brought offline, but it will be taken off store shelves because of licensing issues.
Don't you love those?
Uh-huh.
Game is fine, it's just the license was bad, and now we
can't. I know, man, I hate that part. I hate that part about a lot of games. It's like, we got to, you know, I don't want to say car games live and die by the licensing, but there are a lot of games that kind of do. Your sports title games, your anything that is music-centric type games that involve...
Def Jam, Fight for New York comes to mind.
Oh, God, yes. The Guardians of the Galaxy game that is fantastic, by the way, and probably is on sale on Steam, but it's a good, good game. There's music that is in that will continually either have to be licensed or that will be pulled from the store.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. Be a while, but at some point.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. Car, you know, racing games, people want the cars in there, and that involves licensing.
How did Gran Turismo pull it off?
That's a good point. I don't know. Well, have they ever been delisted because of licensing? And probably because this falls under music more than it falls under anything else.
Yeah.
I imagine the licensing they have with vehicles. In fact, you know what? It's let me look at this, and I can give you the reason why Forza is coming out. News of Drive Forza 4 DLC is getting It says Forza Horizon 4's DLC is getting unlisted from all gaming stores, with the entire game getting entirely pulled from sale this December. And it's because of licensing. Let's see. But as developer Playground Games says in a statement issued June 25th, they will soon not be able to sell the game, as in it's getting pulled from every online store before Christmas, with elements already gone today. The reason giving is licensing and agreements with our partners will be delisted from platforms. It's not telling you what it's based on, whether it's music or whatever, but it's licensing. So, it's on sale on Steam for $11. Standard edition, the deluxe, the ultimate edition is $20. I don't know what comes with the ultimate edition, but it's $20 on PC. $16 for the deluxe edition for Forza Horizon 4. So yeah, anyway, getting delisted. I hate when games go away. But it's all about the licensing part of things. Mm-hmm. So, right, Lethal Migraine, because Microsoft doesn't have enough money to throw a few dollars at their partners to extend the agreements. Yeah, possibly, or... Yeah, I really don't know. It could be something completely different where they're not even asking for money. Which sounds really weird when you're talking about corporations.
We don't like how our property looks in your game.
Maybe, or if, but is it a car or is it a song? And if it's a song, you think, well, we'll just remove the song from the game, right?
You would think that, yeah.
If they could, I don't know.
The simplest method would be just take it out of the game. Oh, that's not enough.
That would be the other thing. If it's a car, well, I suppose if it's a car and you take it out of the game, then that means people could have bought stuff for it. You're going to have to issue refund. I'd suppose. Then at the same time, though, I know whenever we put these games in our systems and boot them up, we always have to agree to some massive long user license agreement, which I'm sure somewhere in there could say at some point we reserve the right to remove all of this stuff regardless of how much money you've paid without having to pay you back type of thing. I don't know. I don't know what it's for. We'll see. So this is going to be like a quick segment because we went way over in that first segment there. So because we're coming up on the bottom of the hour here. So just giving you a heads up that we'll be taking a break here pretty soon. The PlayStation Plus games for July were announced. So if you're a PlayStation Plus member, then you get, what do we get? Borderlands 3.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be PS4 and PS5. NHL 24, which I think Lethal Migraine just said hockey just ended. PS4 and PS5. And Among Us for PS4 and PS5. I thought Among Us was a free-to-play title, but I guess it's not.
I want to say it was around $3-4 when I picked it up.
Among Us? I didn't know you were playing that.
No, it just was like $4, so I just grabbed it.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
It's $4.
Yeah.
I mean, it's talked about a lot. I have not played it myself. So.
I'm trying to remember Borderlands 3.
I think I have Borderlands 3.
I'm trying to think, was I even interested in getting 3?
Well, it was...
I tailed off when I played the pre-sequel. I think I lost
interest
in playing after the pre-sequel.
I know that my interest was lost because it wasn't getting a Steam release.
Mm-hmm.
It was exclusive to the Epic Game Store on PC.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And a lot of people were not willing to... this was early in the life of the Epic Game Store. Ever how long ago... What year did Borderlands 3 come out, man? It's been a while.
It's been a minute, yeah.
And so it was... Yeah, it was only available when you were playing it on PC on the Epic Game Store, which is a completely different environment than Steam. And a lot of people were not ready to jump over to the Epic Game Store. Regardless of that, they thought they were like, you're trying to pull me in with Borderlands 3, but I'll show you. I just won't buy it. And that was the thing. It was also said ahead of time that Epic Game Store has, I don't know, 6-month exclusivity or a year exclusivity. I can't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a thing where it was like, yeah, no, this is you're going to have to wait this long before it's available on other platforms or whatever, before it's available on Steam. You're going to have to wait this long before it gets there.
September of 2019, by the way.
Okay, yeah. And then it was like 6 months or another year before it finally hit Steam.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember, and maybe the Steam store would tell me. But yeah, that was the reason I paused on it. I really loved the Epic Game Store. I had no problem with it, but a lot of people were not moving over to it.
Yeah.
And eventually, waiting a year kind of proved that, we're good. Mm-hmm. You know, it releases, and then it gets released. It's a big deal because it's the third in the Borderlands series. It's Borderlands, blah, blah, blah. It's whatever. But it's coming out on Epic Games Store. Well, I'll wait. You wait, and it finally comes around, and you're like, you know what? I went a year without it. I'm okay.
Yeah.
That whole urge of, like, new game. I want to jump into it. Oh, I got to wait a year. And then you wait a year, and you're like, it turns out I really didn't want it to begin with.
Yeah.
That's one of those weird things.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I think we may have talked about it before, buying a game,
Strike while the iron's hot, man.
Buy it on day one. Now you're like, just wait till the legacy, what did they call it?
The Game of the Year?
Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
Where all the DLC is released in it.
The Everything edition.
Yeah, the Everything edition. Like $20
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the...
I mean, I agree with you on that.
60 to 70 when you bought it day one.
But the cool thing. The weird thing, or the way it always worked for us, specifically talking about the show here, because I know me and James would talk about it, and Matt's talked about it, we've talked about it, just mm-hmm. the whole when you jump on a game, especially a game like Borderlands 3, where you can co-op stuff and play things together, when you jump on a game, when it releases, you're there among the public. You're there among the people playing it. You are talking about it. It's like, you know, it's like talking on Friday about the debate that happened on Thursday. Everybody is there talking about this thing. Did you watch it? Were you there? Did you see it? Did this happen? Blah, blah, blah. Same thing with gaming. Have you played this? Have you played this? Have you played this? Yes. That works for a couple of weeks, or at least until the next big thing releases. Mm-hmm. And then everybody says, have you played that? And then it just keeps going like that.
Yeah.
But on a game that is, I wouldn't even say that Borderlands 3 kind of falls into that, but I would say something like Call of Duty's multiplayer on like 3 and 4 and stuff like that. When you waited too long, you got in there and the lobbies were sparse. You know, you weren't, they had moved on and you were just coming in. And Division got me.
Yeah.
I took a long time to get back into Division, and when I did, there was nobody for me to join up with. And I'm not talking about my friends. The game, in the game, you can just jump into a public lobby to find people to play with.
Yeah.
And it matches people at your rank. But because I was so low and it'd been so long, very few people were in my rank looking to team up.
Right.
And because that group, that wave of popularity and people and everything else that was happening at the time kind of flowed and right on by.
Mm-hmm.
Their characters, you know, the more I leveled, the more there were people there to play with. But I was, you know, I was at the mercy of the fact that it had been forever since I've been playing the game and nobody was around.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's the kind of, that's a little bit of a risky run when you go, when you do that, when you wait so long to play something.
Mm-hmm.
You may wait so long because you get a better price for it, but
yeah, some genres that'll work for it. If it's a story based,
yeah.
If it's a story based title, you can play it anytime. You know, it's like you're not relying on others to get you through the game.
You can in some cases. You have to be careful because if it's a big enough game that is story driven, you're tempting fate by running into spoilers. I'm speaking specifically of Last of Us 2 because of how long it took me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would see threads popping up because it had been so long, people thought the moratorium on spoilers is over. You know, we can start asking questions.
Yeah, what was it? It's been 3 months. We can talk about it. No, it's too early. No, it's been two months. We can talk about it now.
Yeah,
yeah, that type.
What's
of thing.
The? Yeah, exactly. What's the limit?
What's the threshold?
Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah,
I last week I told you about Mad Max, 9-year-old game.
Yeah,
I said I'm going to spoil it. Mm-hmm. So yeah. But the thing I didn't spoil about Mad Max is just how fun it is, because that never spoils. That is a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what happens in the story that I spoiled last week, you can still play it, and you're going to enjoy every minute of it.
Yeah.
If you like the driving and vehicular combat and things like that, it's fantastic. It's wonderful. We got to go again. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we will, I don't know, wrap things up, I guess. And we'll go to the chat room there, because Lethal Migraine talked about the Stanley Cup and AC Wraith is talking about Steam. We've got music here from, I'm going to mess this up so bad, Tales of Kinzera, Zao. that's a mouthful. That is a game that released in April as well. This is called The Boy and Death, I believe. So we'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back into In-Game Chat. This is from a game called Library of Ruina, I think, and it just flashed by, so I have no idea what the actual title of the track was, but from that game, Library of Ruina. Again, I think these all came from April when they released. So, let's see. Let's go to the chat room real quick, just because we had some pop up. Lethal Migraine says, Stanley Cup finals ended Monday. Award show was Thursday. Draft was Friday. And today, free agency starts Monday. Preseason. This dude loves hockey. Preseason starts second week of September. Basically, no NHL offseason anymore. Then AC Wraith. I've been fighting with Steam this whole podcast. Sir, this is a radio show. No, we're fine. It's a podcast. It's perfectly fine. I can't confirm anything because they want a family pin for a service I never... Oh, a pin number. They want a family pin number for a service I never enabled. I can't reinstall the app because apparently my password is wrong. I can't change my password without completely removing SteamGuard. I am going to scroll down real quick and let you know that AC Wraith did get his problem solved. I removed the character and I got my password right. And then he says, then I managed to transfer the SteamGuard to my current phone. So good job. However, had you not been able to do that, the predicament that you were talking about earlier, where you can't install the app because your password is wrong and you can't change your password because you got to remove SteamGuard. Getting caught in loops like that, especially when you've got two-factor authentication and other ways to kind of protect your account. You can protect your account so much that you can lock yourself out of it, which
yeah,
is better than somebody else getting in there and locking you out of it, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
However,
less of two evils.
Yeah. Steam, I think, will work with you and will be pretty good about helping you out. We'll find ways to do what they need to do. Don't ever do it with Sony. From what I understand, Sony is just locked down and fully leaves it up to you. Mm-hmm. And if you screw it up, they're not very quick to help you.
You're SOL.
For the most part, that's what I've heard. It's mm-hmm. never happened to me, but when I read about issues, Nintendo may be sticklers as well. I'm not sure. But I've heard more stories about Sony not coming to the rescue more than I have Nintendo.
A straight unwillingness to work with you. You're just better to play safe and just not spending your resources on that. Just
with Sony, yeah, I don't know. With Sony, it depends, man. I've heard people say, I sent something in and it's been weeks and nobody's responded. And people said, oh, I sent something in and it's been years and I never got anything back. I just moved on. So... Yeah, I would say be careful with Sony in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Not getting locked out of it or anything like that, but setting it up so tough that you've forgotten, because if anything changes or if anything gets screwed up, basically it's on your head
mm-hmm.
to straighten that out. They will not come to your rescue. You can call them and talk to them. Will hardly do you any good. In the past, I don't know if anything's changed, but for the most part, no help at all. What does he say? Apparently, the family pin thing happens because they log you out automatically, but you can't log back in without reinstalling the app. That's odd. I don't know. I know I'm pretty good. I used my Humble Bundle games came in through this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't logged into Steam through a browser in a while. And so when I went to claim those games, it's like, hey, you need to log in. And luckily, they did that thing where they put up a QR code, and all you got to do is go to the Steam app on your phone, scan the code, boom, logged in.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have to do anything else. So luckily, that's still going pretty good for me as far as the security on that is good.
Yeah.
SteamGuard is actually very, very good. It's very thorough. Obviously, you can tell from AC Wraith, he couldn't get into his own account. That's SteamGuard working. that's what the people who made up SteamGuard are telling you. Hey, well, it's working.
Make a commercial out of that.
I know. Gaming news, because we've only got 15 minutes left. Speaking of Steam, they've introduced a new recording feature that also works with Steam Deck, where I guess it's not necessarily, it records what you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
for playback later on or something like that.
So streamline streaming, something like that, or
sort of. But you know, if you want to record, you know, a session of whatever it is you're playing, and then go back and do some edits and throw a video up, mm-hmm. you can do that because you have the ability now to let Steam record. Used to, you'd have to run something like OBS Fraps may have had a screen recorder in there. NVIDIA has something that records your gameplay, and I can't remember what it's called, but NVIDIA has something when you can do that, that'll record your gameplay. Won't stream it, but it'll record it, save it to a file, then you can go back and do something and, you know, upload it if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Couple of ways to do that. But now Steam has something that is actually happening, and it works with the old deck there. So I can record footage of games that I'm playing there and do something with them. I don't know. I was thinking about streaming for tomorrow. I don't know if I will.
Pinball?
No, actually, weird. I was thinking about streaming Snap. I haven't, I play the game. It has missions every day type thing, you know? Like right now I have, I need to play a 6-cost card and I need to play a 4-cost card. And it's a card battler game for folks that didn't know. And so I'll get another one or two more. I think I'll get another one by the time I would be up. And so I always log in every day and I do those missions, bounties, whatever you want to call them. Gives me XP, does a couple of different things. So, yeah. And I thought, you know what? I haven't streamed Snap. I could stream Snap. There's a nice little overlay that I've installed for that shows me my cards and then shows me it doesn't show me the opponent's cards until those cards are played. And as they are played, they sort of reveal, so I know what he's got in his hand. And I can kind of get an idea of the kind of deck they have from that. It's a nice little overlay type thing. Maybe. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. Pinball, probably not. Probably not pinball. I don't know what else I would stream. Man, Mad Max was fun. But no, I don't know. Maybe something. But who knows? Dead Rising is getting a remaster. I know. Capcom's got a thing coming up in July. Kind of a Capcom Direct, like Nintendo does theirs.
Yeah.
Although they told us what was going to be covered. Dead Rising was going to be covered. Resident Evil, I think Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
I think. I was looking to see if it said. Yeah, it doesn't show. I was hoping it would tell me like when that thing is. Yeah. But
speaking of Capcom, I missed that sale they had on PlayStation Network for the Mega Man Legacy Collection.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had it for like $8 or $9 as opposed to 20 or 30. Had a compilation of all the a lot of Mega Man titles
that I've never
actually played. So I missed that one.
Mega Man
Ghouls and Ghosts collection.
Mega Man. I didn't have a good time with Mega Man as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first games that I played on a Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think it was honestly my second game purchased because I had just gotten my Super Nintendo, or not Super Nintendo, I had just gotten my Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
Duck Hunt and Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted another game. And I it's a weird memory. I don't choose what sticks in my head, sadly. Not that I don't necessarily want this memory. I just, one of those weird things is like, why do you remember this? But I do.
Because it had a significant impact on your life.
I know. How? I don't know.
Remember?
I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm sure there are, you know, psychologists and people who would like, okay, tell me about this. And I would say it, and they will pinpoint the reason that this sticks in my head. But for, you know, my uneducated self, I have no idea why. I remember we were in Walmart, and I remember not vividly, but in pieces of what the, of the layout of that Walmart. And you've got to go way back to that. You've got to go back to when the Walmart in Prattville was not where it is now, but is where, I think it's Badcock Furniture is right now. I think. Which is over near where Bama Lanes is in Prattville. It was in that shopping center there. Much smaller.
Yeah.
Two entrances from the left and the right. And I think maybe the center had an entrance. I think. There was a Mortal Kombat machine. I used to always watch people play that. I used to, that was on the outside. But anyway, this was for Nintendo, though. This is going back further. I remember being in there. I remember the games being locked behind glass or something. It was protective. You couldn't. I couldn't pick up the box. I only had to go on what the front of the box looked like.
Right.
And if you've ever seen the cover art for the very first Mega Man,
it's infamous.
It is, because what the hell is that? And how did that draw my six-year-old, seven-year-old self? I don't actually don't know how old I was when that came out. But what, for me, it was just, that's a game for my machine. I want that.
Mm-hmm. No idea what you were getting into.
Somehow I convinced my mother to buy it.
Yeah.
I would go on later at some point to convince my father to buy Mike Tyson's Punch-Out because Dad liked boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I can get a new game out of him because this is a boxing game, Dad. You can buy this. Because I wasn't pulling in any kind of money at that age. I had no allowance. But yeah, so I remember specifically somehow convincing my mother to buy Mega Man.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for $35, $40. I don't know what it was back then. But it was a big ask.
Yeah.
And I remember playing it, and I remember thinking, this game is hard. This is a really hard game, especially on some of the stages. Now I'm not even talking about bosses.
Yeah, there's the impact.
Yeah.
Right there. The first game where you discovered the real, how difficult a video game could be.
And the other part of it was, is I didn't realize, and maybe it was in the instruction manual or something, but I didn't realize that when you defeat a boss, you get his ability.
Mm-hmm.
Never once hit my head, mainly because I probably didn't beat a lot of bosses. Mm-hmm. The stages were tough for me. And the odd thing about that is that I've never revisited it. I've never gone back to the game and played it again as an older adult or as a more experienced gamer.
Yeah, with more skills under your belt. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Because it scares me. It's like, that was a really hard game. I don't want to go through that again.
Mm-hmm.
It really, man, the ice stage where like the platforms would pop out and then go away and disappear and you had to jump and get on the thing. I had no coordination to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the few times I could get through it, I was like, okay, thank God I got through that. Now let's keep going and get through. Man, no. Mm-hmm. Died so many times. So many times.
And correct me if I'm wrong, there were no save spots or things. You had to do it all in one go. Or
now, there were, like, you had, like, three lives.
Yeah.
So, like, when you would die, it wouldn't put you back at the beginning of the stage. It would put you back at wherever the last little checkpoint was,
okay,
or whatever the
thing. Okay. You had checkpoints at this point.
Sort of. Until all three lives were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And when all three lives were gone, you'd have to start over.
Well, if you didn't start over at the very beginning of the stage, then yeah, it was a checkpoint then.
Yeah.
Checkpoint-ish. Yeah. Checkpoint.
Well, I just remember I would die a lot at those ice block, that ice block part on, I don't remember the stage. But basically, think of it as just a wall where these blocks would appear and disappear, and you had to jump on them to get across the gap.
Timing. Yeah.
Yeah, and I would die there, and every time I would die there, it would put me right back there
mm-hmm.
until all lives were gone, and then it was
yeah, back then, every adventure game had those variations of an ice stage or something like that.
Yeah.
In my case, Wonder Boy on the Sega Genesis.
I haven't played it.
Yeah, I have. There was a variation of an ice stage, and one of the aspects of the ice stage in that game was, okay, your character, Tom-Tom, is barefoot on ice. So your traction is zero.
Yeah, of course.
So you're not going to stop on a dime like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something I had to get used to playing through that stage.
Same thing with Mega Man
in
the ice stage. You would slide a little bit,
mm-hmm.
which is not too bad. But when you're trying to do platforming on ice blocks,
mm-hmm.
you have to be careful. It's basically
precision on ice.
I know.
Yeah, that's hard. Yeah, difficult.
Oh, man.
But doable.
It just, that was one of those things where I felt like, man, I bought a crap game. What I didn't know at the time was that that game was going to spawn, I don't know, 25 different versions.
Hence the Mega Man collection and that just I missed out on.
Yeah, yes. And just be a massive thing.
Yeah.
And I got in on the ground floor of that I never left the basement of.
Yeah, you got the box, man. So.
I never followed him. They came out with a sequel, and I was like, why would I play that? Then they came out with a third one where they put a dog in it. And I was like, well, that seems nice. I'm not going to play that, though. That looks too hard. You know, for me, that was Capcom was my From Software back in my childhood. Mega Man was my Dark Souls.
The original Ninja Gaiden.
I didn't play
that one. Remember that one? That was
I remember it, but I didn't play it.
Yeah, that was reputed to have a lot of difficulty as well on the NES.
I can't remember why I didn't play it, but I didn't. I did not play it. I did play Double Dragon on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a couple. Like, my collection's big, and that's an odd thing, too. I don't remember how my collection got that big, other than maybe birthdays and Christmases. Because I wasn't making money.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I got the ability to have all those games that I had.
Yeah.
Hand-me-downs,
trades, things like that, you know.
I am much today as I was then, antisocial. So I didn't have a lot of trades. Who was I going to trade with? Maybe kids at school, but at the time, my parents were going to allow me to do that. For whatever reason, I guess, because they're like, we spent good money on that. You're about to give that away and get something else? No. Whereas, like, that's all we do now.
Yeah.
I'm going to trade this in so I can get something else. I'm done with this. We're done with this. We have to go. Spent too much time mumbling there, didn't I? Or just ranting or going off on different directions.
Man. Hey,
yeah, reminiscing. AC Wraith says, I didn't beat Mega Man 2 for months because we cycled through items to beat the final boss. My friend lied, having missed the correct one. Oh, he didn't beat the right boss. Okay, gotcha. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Again, we're off next week, but we'll be back the week after that. So have a fantastic week and a fourth and a great vacation, whatever you may be doing. We really appreciate you guys supporting us. Thank you so much, and we'll be back again. Music here from a game called Another Crab's Treasure, which I think is a Dark Souls, but underwater with crabs. This is called The Shallows. You guys have a good one. We'll see you in 2 weeks.